This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
This. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once there was a teacher, a secondary teacher, he was teaching in a secondary school. And in one of his classes, he noticed that the students are negligent in their revision. So this teacher planned to have a sort of a surprise exam, pop quiz. So one day he said, please put off your books away and bring out a paper and pen and write these questions. We're going to have a surprise exam. So in shock, all of the students, they were reluctantly say, no way, we don't want to do this. But reluctantly, they comply. And in the midst of that, one of the students, a very, very loud, very, very troublesome student, he stood up and said, I'm not going to do it. Oh, teacher, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, no way I'm going to do this. You expect us to do this? Even though if we know the date of the exam and we get time to revise, we still cannot answer the questions. How about we didn't have any time to revise? So the teacher said, rather, you don't have any choice. You have to sit down, you have to write down the questions. If you don't like it, you can leave the class. You can leave the class. And the student, he said, rather you, oh teacher, you leave the class. You go out. And in anger, the teacher goes straight towards the student. And then he said, you have no manners, no etiquette, no adab. Huh? So you're going to pay for this. And then the student stood up, subhanAllah, angrily, na'udhu billah. So now you know, imagine, you can imagine what happened. A brawl happened, MMA, subhanAllah, against the teacher and the student. This student is quite a big student, quite a built student, so they fought. So the matter reached the administration of the school, and these disciplinary actions were taken upon the student, and alhamdulillah, it ended. And as for the teacher, subhanAllah, everybody is talking about this teacher in this school. I was talking about it. No one, any corridor that he went to, he will see, people will whisper about him. SubhanAllah. So his reputation is dented now, damaged. And then, so this pressured this teacher to leave the school. Another similar incident happened to another teacher. So this teacher did the same thing. Surprise, today we have a pop quiz exam. So similar things happen. Another similar student stood up and say, oh, no way, teacher, we're not going to do this. You're not going to do as what you want. So similar things happen. This teacher actually is more wiser than the other one. So with no avail, he said, oh, we will not, there will be no avail if fire, fight with fire. Anger, fight with anger. So he said, so you don't want to do the exam? Okay, fine. You are responsible for your own actions. But remember that you have to go through some disciplinary actions be taken upon you. And then straight away the teacher sat down and started to ask the question. So asking the students to write down the questions. So the question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And with that pressure, he is trying, and this student is trying to make the teacher angry, but he failed. So long story short, the student realized about this, and then he has no chance, has no other choice but to do the exam as well. So the ability, your ability to adapt to situations, your diverse situation is the determining factor of our problem solving, of how do you solve a problem. Anger is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ asked us to take refuge from. For example, one of the companions asked the Prophet, what do I do? And then the Prophet said, La taghdab, 3 times. Do not get angry. And if you see most of the things that happen between spouses, a divorce or maybe fights, all of because of anger. All because of both wants to be the fire. And one of the things that is related to one of the companions, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the story about his hair, the hair of Muawiyah. So people ask him, how do you keep this, your position for so long? You had 20 years as a governor of Sham, Muawiyah. And then another 20 years as a Khalifa of the Muslims. So 40 years in total, he is in that status, in that position. So what did he say? لو أن بيني وبينهم وبين الناس شعرة من قطعت. It is because between me and the people there's one strand of hair. So this one strand of hair, whenever they pull it on the other side, I will let it loose. And when they let it loose, I'll pull it. So this is things that you can tolerate, you can tolerate. But things you can, if let's say people are angry with you, you try to calm the anger down. And if let's say they are okay now with you, the situation is all okay, so now you can start to implement new things, or maybe you can make any changes. So this lesson is one of the things that we can take from here is we are the ones who decide the outcomes of every problems that we face. And how we solve the problem, how do we react to that problem, is actually how it's going to be at the end of the day. Subhanallah. So welcome to brothers and sisters to the Sunday class. Unfortunately, again this week, the Sheikh is not around as he has bigger responsibilities to take care of. He is in Langkawi for the conference. Some sort of international ISDG. ISDG, one of the things that it is called, like a standardized. What is called? Standard procedure, something like that. So there are some categories that they need to deliver about to convey that relate to Islam. So I was asked to fill in again for the Sheikh today. So we don't want to stop the momentum of the class. So inshallah, when the Sheikh comes back, he can continue the momentum, inshallah. So may Allah SWT grant us istiqamah in learning. And also may Allah SWT help me in fulfilling this duty. And may Allah SWT make it beneficial for all. Ameen. Okay. So now we are still in this book. For those who are new, we are still using this book. This is the syllabus of our Sunday class. Islamic etiquette, taken from the book Minhaj al-Muslim by Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi rahimahullah. And this is only one topic of that big book, which is etiquette, or Islamic etiquette, the adab. So we are now in page 17. The brief review of last week, what we have learned, we've learned about the relationship between us and Allah, between us and Allah, that we know that we are not friends with Allah. We are not like a mother or father or brothers or sisters, siblings. We are with Allah. The relationship with us and Allah is the relationship between a master and a slave. A master and a slave. So realizing this connection with Allah, that we are only His slave. So it is very, very important that we put ourselves as at that status, which is we are slaves of Allah, and Allah is qadirun alayna. He is able, all able upon us, that He can do anything that He wants upon us. So that this relationship, if everybody knows this relationship with Allah, so that our life, inshallah, will be much more easier. Our mental state will be much more easier to accept this life, the trials and tribulations of this life, inshallah. And today, inshallah, we're going to continue about knowing Allah, who is Allah, the etiquette and behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of his attributes that we learned before, the concept of ihsan as well, that we learned last week. And we also learned last week about the rights of the slave upon Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us if we do not commit shirk with Allah. If we don't associate partners with Allah, then inshallah Allah will not punish us. And today, inshallah, we're going to dive in on the knowledge of Allah, His knowledge, and then His mercy, inshallah. And if we have time, we're going to go at the end of this bab is the wrath of Allah. Right? The wrath of Allah, if we have time, inshallah. Okay. So, very, very encouraged to have this book, Islamic Etiquette. So let us start. Nabda bil. Bismillah. Okay. Allah also says, Allah subhanahu azza wa jalla says, Wallahu ya'lamu ma tusirruna wa ma tu'linun. And Allah knows what you conceal and what you reveal. Allah knows every single movement that we do. Things that we keep secret and things that we reveal to others, do in public, that Allah knows everything. Even you try to, hide from everybody, you cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us continue.
وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ.
Actually, there are some more, but he stopped at fis sama. So the meaning is, neither you, O Muhammad, do any deed nor recite awama tatlu min humin Quran, that you recite any portion of the Quran, nor you, O mankind, do any deed, good or evil, but we are the witness thereof when you are doing it. Is it to feed nafi? When you are immersing in those actions, we are the witness. And nothing is hidden from your Lord so much as the weight of an atom or a small ant on earth or in the heaven. Fil ardi wala fis sama. As small as an ant, Allah knows whatever that we do. So this, maybe we can see a bit of the tafsir of this ayah. Surah Yunus, Surah 10. Sorry, I put it here. Surah Yunus, 61.
Illa kunna alaykum shuhudan idh tufidhuna fi.
When you are engaging in those actions, Allah said meaning waqta shuru'ikum, whenever you are engaging in this, fi istimrarikum ala al-amal bihi, and when you are continuously doing those things, so Allah knows every second, every detail that you do. Maybe during, for example, during your recitation of the Quran, that you scratch your head here, that Allah recorded all of it. Allah knows every single detail. How many times you blink, and Allah knows. Okay?
وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكُمْ.
What does it mean, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ? Which it means, مَا يُغَابُ عَنْ عَمَلِهِ wa sam'an ilmihi wa sam'ihi wa basarihi wa mushahadatihi.
It is not hidden from his ilm, from his knowledge, from his hearing, sam'ihi, from his seeing, and also from his shahada, his what do you call that, he is looking upon you.
Min mithqala dhirratin qad ahata bihi ilmuhu wa jara bihi qalamuhu.
So this is the two things that we have to remember. This is the two part of qadar of Allah. Okay, first is ahata bihi ilmuhu, the knowledge of Allah. He encompass everything. the knowledge of Allah first. So we have been to before, the qadar of Allah, the maratibul qadar, first is the ilmullah al-azali, the knowledge of Allah, that is he knows what happened, what is happening and what is coming to happen, and what might not happen if it happened, and what is the outcome as well. So four things. And so the next one is qalamuhu. Whatever that is happening, Allah already knows. Everything was written in the Lawhul Mahfuz. Everything was written in the Lawhul Mahfuz in the seventh heaven. Okay, let us continue. So knowing this ayah, a Muslim also ponders over Allah's power and control over him. How his forelock is in the hand of Allah. Where is this mentioned forelock? Okay. And he knows that there is no escape or fleeing from him. There is no refuge or shelter except in Allah himself. Therefore, the Muslim flees to Allah and throws himself before him. He leaves his affairs with Allah and puts his trust in him. This is how we should behave with respect to the Lord and the Creator. So this ayah, if you can see here, the author mentioned the forelock is in the hands of Allah. The forelock is this frontal part of your head. And one of the du'as that the Prophet said, if you are sad, if you are feeling down, feeling depressed, one of the du'as, one of the long du'as that he said, nasiyati biyadik, that my forelock is in your hands. Right? My forelock is in your hands. So, which means that Allah is have control over our situations, whatever that is happening around us. That he can toss us around here and there. So we can see, inshallah, after this, at the ayah. Before we sleep, we say, La malja'a wa la manja minka ilaik. There's no shelter or no escape or fleeing except to Allah. This is one of the du'as before we sleep, right? Wada'tu jambi ilaik. And then one of the du'as is, there's no escape and there's no fleeing from Allah. La manja wa la manja illa ilaik. So whatever that you do, you have to, at the end of the day, you have to throw yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not proper etiquette whatsoever to flee from one, from whom there is no fleeing. So there is no use that you run from Allah. Nor it is proper to rely upon one who has no power. Nor should one put his trust in one having no ability or power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. There is not a moving or living creature, but he has grasp of its forelock. And this is from Surah Hud. So we can see that why its forelock is mentioned. Why don't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say other parts of the body? Because, and we can see here in Tafsir Tabari, لِأَنَّ الْعَرَبْ كَانَتْ تَسْتَعْمِلُ ذَلِكَ فِي وَصْفِهَا. Because the Arabs before, you know, this Quran was sent down to the Arabs, so they have to know what are their cultures, what they are used to do. So the Arabs before, they use this sifat, min wasfiha min sifatin bi dhillah wal khudu. If you want to describe somebody who are in a situation that is very low, is in control, like a slave or something, so you can say, my forelock is in the hands of so and so. Anna nasiyati fulan illa biyadi fulan. That means this tribe, their forelock is on the hands of the other tribe. So they are holding this. It's like possessing them. You know, you are like here. How do we say in Malay? Kau adam di genggaman aku. You are in my grasp. So you cannot do anything. Anything you do, I know. I'm in control of you. For example, our children, right? So they are in our care, our grasp. So we can say that you cannot do anything. I pay your everything. I spend for you all the money, your food, your drinks, your place to sleep. So you are in my grasp. You can say that your forelock is in my hands. Something like that. Okay. So annahu lam muqti'un. So he can direct to whatever he pleases. Yusarrifuhu kaifa sha'a. And then, yeah. So whenever they want, so the cultures of the Arabs before, the Jahiliya, when they engage in the war, so they can take them as slaves. Take those who are lost as slaves. So when they want to release, they will give them, okay, so you know, you are free, you pay me something, and then they will like cut some of your hair on the forelock here, this part. So cut some of the hair. They panggil, it's called juzu, like cutting some part of the hair in front. Subhanallah. So Allah used this for the Arabs to understand, oh, my forelock now is in Allah's hand. Allah is in control of everything, all of my affairs. وَلَا تَكِلْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنَ. That you say to Allah, one of the du'as of the Prophet, oh Allah, you don't leave me alone to myself, even for the blink of an eye, right? Subhanallah. So that is what it means by نَاصِيَاتِهَا أَخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَاتِهَا. And also Allah mentioned about running towards Allah. Fafirru ila Allah, inni lakum minhu nadhirun mubin. So flee to Allah from His torment to His mercy. Islamic monotheism, tawhid. Verily, I, yani Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, am a plain warner to you from Him. So this ayah asks us to flee, to run away, right? Harb. Run away, not from Allah. Okay, the adah, the normal situation is when you fear something, that you run away from it. For example, you fear a lion, you don't go to a lion. You don't go to lion and become his dinner. You see him, then you run away. Right? You run away from him. Your fear towards him, it's a natural fear that you run away from him. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have to run away from me, but not from towards ila. So Arabic is very, very detailed. Fafirru min is run away from. If you say fafirru ila, so you run towards Allah, towards His mercy, towards His forgiveness, whatever that He loves. Firaru mimma yakrahuhu Allahu zahiratan wa batinan. You run away from whatever that Allah dislike. However that Allah dislike. Min al ghaflati ila dhikri. You run away from heedlessness towards Allah, towards His remembrance. You run away from Allah, you run away towards Allah. Min al kufri ila al iman. From disbelief, from not believing in Allah, from not being thankful to Allah, towards iman. From ma'asiyah ila ta'ah. From disobedience towards Allah to obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is faqadis takmala deen. Then you will, when you do this, you have perfected your deen, your religion. Al-murad matul. Okay, subhanallah. So this you can understood that we run away towards Allah, ila Allah. So I would like to relate one story that I, you know, even though it's from a cartoon, but for me it's there's a very good benefit from it. Have you seen Mystery Bunch? Have you seen before, Shaib? Mystery Bunch? No? A very good cartoon for the young ones. So the story is about they are playing hide and seek. Playing hide and seek with one of one teacher and three boys. In that story, they are squirrels. So there's three boys. I forgot the names. So the teacher said, okay, to now, after we have learned, we want to play hide and seek. Okay, so your job now is to find a place where nobody can see you. Where nobody can see you. So one of them say, this is very easy. Very easy. So one of them go hide in the bush. So they say, now nobody can see me. Now nobody can see me. And the other one went to hide in the tree, in an oak tree. So there's a hole, so he ran inside there. So nobody can see, only can see the eyes, right? So now they say, now nobody can see me. And then this third one is a quite brilliant boy. So he went into a cave. Cave, very dark. So when he entered, he said, ha, now nobody can see me. And then he realized, nobody can see me. But Allah can still see me. He said, Allah can still see me. So okay, I'll go find another place. So he went to up into the mountains. So okay, now nobody can see me. I'm very, very up high. Nobody can see me. And then he said, but Allah can still see me, right? Can still see me. Okay. So he went to another place. So he went the whole village, climb a tree, go to the mountains, you know. So he took a long time to find a place where nobody can see him. And then he is tired, he went back to his teacher. And then the teacher said, what took you so long? We have already done this game. So long we are waiting for you now. And then he said, I was looking for a place where nobody can see me. So and then I realized there's no place that Allah does not see you. Allah is always watching you. So he said, where should I go? Allah is al-basir. Allah is the all-seeing. Allah is as-sami. Allah is all-hearing. All-hearing. Our limited sight, we can see as well. But our sight, when there's a wall, we cannot see past the wall. Right? We cannot see past the wall. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees even whatever it is in our hearts. Allah is as-sami, the one who hears all, the all-hearing. We can hear only whenever everybody is talking, we can only hear at least one channel. And some of, subhanAllah, some of the tahfiz teachers, they are very, very good in listening. Some of them can listen to even 10 students reciting at the same time. No. And then he will, okay, salah, mistake. Oh, subhanAllah. But limited to numbers, some numbers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can listen to every single people in this world. Every single thing that Allah that the people wanted, whatever that they say in their heart, they think of it, they feel it in their heart, Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa nahnu aqrabu ilayhi min hablil warid," and our knowledge is closer to them from their juggler veins. So very, very near to every single one of us. So we cannot imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are we going to escape from his sight? How are we going to escape from his hearing? Subhanallah and Azim. So let us continue. Where was I now? Okay. These are, you know, some issues, you know. Some people say, you cannot say that Allah can hear because humans can hear as well. And you cannot say that Allah is seeing you now because the mankind, the creations also see. So we say that Allah's attributes are perfect. It's not the same as the creation. لَيْسَ كَ مِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he is not like his creations. And then Allah continues, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah emphasized that in that ayah. And there's nothing, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There's nothing that is at the same level of Allah. So we cannot say it's the same. Even we, ourselves as creations, we compare to other creations, also different. Our sight compared to an eagle's sight, very much different. They can see from far, their prey. We are very, very limited, our hearing. Some of the animals can hear from far. Some of them can just smell. Some people already hours passed from one route, so this animal can know who is here and etc. They can sense. Their sense is much more better than us. How can we compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay, continue, okay? وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. Put your trust in Allah if you are believers indeed. And this is tawakkul. We already discussed about it before, inshallah. Okay, tawakkul, as we know, we can just repeat again, is not about leaving just to Allah like that. Say, oh, I tawakkal. No. If you are hungry, you have to go buy the food and eat, right? So that is tawakkul. That is the perfect tawakkul. That you, your car, you have to lock it and then you leave it outside. That is tawakkul. That you do your part and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do his part. A Muslim also considers how generous and compassionate Allah has been to him in all of his affairs. He considers Allah's mercy upon him and upon all of his creation. He desires to have more of that mercy. He then humbles himself to Allah with sincere humility and supplications. He seeks a means of approach to Allah with the best of speech and good deeds. Best of speech and good deeds. Speech and action. This is how we should behave towards Lord Allah, Rabbul Alameen. It is not proper behavior whomsoever to despair of receiving more of His mercy, which encompasses everything. Nor should one despair of receiving more of His goodness that encompasses all living creatures and His generosity that is for all existence. Everyone, everything. Certainly Allah has stated, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy embraces all things. So, this ayah, whether it is short, very short, is from a longer ayah. Okay? But we can, you know, take a pause here and reflect in this ayah, subhanAllah. وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. وَسِعَتْ mean it is like expanded, okay? Rahmati, which means Allah say, my mercy, rahmat. In Malay, I think the best word to say is kesian. One of it is, you kesian, you macam, kesian dengan something. So that is rahmat. You show like a compassionate mercy lah, mercy, right? Kesian. Wasiat, that engulfs everything. Engulfs everything. So one day, a Bedouin came to the Prophet and he prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he made this dua. So this is one of the instances of the Bedouins. So one of it is in the mosque where one of the Bedouins urinate in the mosque. This is a different case. So he made a dua loudly. He said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan wala tushrik fi rahmatina ahadan. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad only. And wala, and then do not give a share of your mercy to anyone else. He is limiting the mercy of Allah to only two persons. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, ataquluna hadha adallu am ba'iruhu am tasma'una maqala. Do you think, oh sahaba, he is addressing the companion, this person, do you think he is more of a misguided person than his camel? Do you even hear what he said? So Robert said that this is like a joking thing. So whether he doesn't know, or maybe the camel is knows better, something like that. Do you hear what he said? What the dua he made? That the companion said, yes, yeah, we heard. And then he say, the prophet said, laqad hadharta. Oh, Bedouin, you have limited rahmatan wasi'atan, the vast mercy of Allah. Inna Allah azza wa jal. Verily Allah azza wa jal khalaqa mi'ata rahmah. He created 100 mercy, 100 rahmah. Fa anzala rahmatan. He give one portion of that rahmah, one part. Yata'atafu biha al-khalqu biha. So all of the creations of this world, of this universe, share this one portion of rahmah. Subhanallah. What do we see now? Wa insuha wa bahaimuha wa akhara wa indahu tis'an wa tis'in. Okay. So you can see now, amongst the animals, they have mercy with their young ones, with their pups, with their cubs and all. Cubs. And you can see between us, we have mercy upon each other. You can see a mother to the baby. Nobody can neglect whatever that he or she has, the children that they have been given. So, this is only one part of the rahmah. Okay, you see, people are gathering money to help those who are in need in Gaza, for example. These are all rahmah from Allah. But this is only one portion of the 100 parts. So where are the rest of the 99? So the Prophet said, وَأَخَّرَ عِنَّهُ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ. So Allah will withhold the 99 parts. When? Rahmatan? He will help this for the day of judgment. For the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the rest of the mercy that He has created. So we ask Allah that we are included in His mercy here and also in the hereafter, in the mahshar, in the day. One of the days is Yawma la dhilla illa dhillu, the day where there's no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day where the sun is being brought near to us and we are drowning in our sweat. So we ask Allah for His rahmah, not only here, but only also that day. That where everything was revealed on that day. Yawma tublas sarair. The day where every secret is being revealed, whatever that you have done in this earth. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ. And for those who have been given his book of deeds with the right hand, فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُّ قُرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. And he will say, look at this book. Ha! Read my book. This is my book. Alhamdulillah. Inni dhanantu mulaqin hisabi. I think my hisab, I feel that my hisab is good because I received it from my right hand. Wa huwa fi 'ayshatir radiyah. And he will live a happy life, a life that is Allah is pleased with it. Fi jannatin 'aliyah, in the highest of jannah. Wa amma man utiya kitabahu bi yaminihi. And for those who receive his books of deeds from the left. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي. Oh, what have I done? يَقُولُ لَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابَ. It is, how good is it if I don't receive this book? How good it is if I don't want this book? I don't want to receive this book from this my left hand. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ وَلَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِيَ. I don't know what is my outcome on this day. walam adrima hisabiyah. And then halaka anni sultaniyah, and my all of my possessions, all of my wealth has been destroyed this day. I have nothing. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun. The day where Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala said there's no benefit your wealth and your children. Nothing can benefit you on that day. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Except for those who come to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sincere heart, with a cleansed heart, with the heart that is perfected their tawheed, their oneness of Allah. So this is the day that we should think of, that we ask for Allah's rahmah. Ameen. So this is so the Prophet said, so what do you think now? Is it this person, the Bedouin, is more misguided, or his camel? Subhanallah. And also you can relate one of the hadith as well about rahmah of Allah, is the hadith about the prisoners of war. When some of the prisoners of war was brought to the Prophet, so some is one of the battles. So the Prophet, he was there with the companions. So among those chaos, those crowded people, so he see one mother, one woman. She was like looking for something, looking here, looking there, looking in front, looking at the back. She was searching for something until she saw a child. A child. And then he ran towards that, she ran towards that child. She grabbed it and hold it close to her chest and start to feed her. As a mother would. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, in front of the companions, they are looking at this scene. Atarawna hadhihi imra'a. Did you not see this woman? Tarihatan waladaha finnar. You can see this woman who's feeding the baby. He will throw the baby in the fire. Would you think that she want to do that? And then they say, Qulna la wallahi. Oh Prophet, no, wallah, she will never throw this baby in the fire. Even though she is able to do it, she won't do it. Never ever she's gonna do it. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Lallaha arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadhihi biwaladiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful towards his servant than this mother towards the baby. Ya Allah. Subhanallah. So you imagine the mercy of Allah. Allah doesn't want to throw us to the hellfire. Allah doesn't want us to go to the hellfire. Even though most of the people is entering hellfire. But it is not Allah that wants. It is about from our actions, from our own doings. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. The destruction on land and sea is because of the doing of the hands of the people. So Allah arhamu bihadhihi biwaladiha. Ala min hadhihi ala walida. Allah is more merciful towards his servant than this woman towards his child, towards her child. Subhanallah al-Azim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his mercy here and hereafter as well. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. And Allah also says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi. Ya Allah. Very short, but the meaning is very, very vast, very, very deep. Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi. Allah is very gracious and kind to his slaves. This is the translation, gracious and kind. What is latif? What is lutf? Have you heard of this kalima, lutf, latif, kan? Sometimes we see some people, name is Abdul Latif, kan? Latif, kita panggil dia, betul tak? And we call him Latif. So Abdul Latif. Latif is, it is a mercy, but it is more subtle mercy. A mercy that you cannot see apparently sometimes. Mercy that happens behind your back. Very subtle. I will say someone is Latif, he is very subtle, but he shows mercy in a subtle way. We can see this. Wallahu Latifun bi'ibadihi. Let's see this ayat lah. Masya Allah. Surah Shura. Al-Latif. Latif, Latif kan? Surah Shura. Ayat 19. Latif. Subtle. Right? Sifatun lillahi subhanahu. An attribute, a characteristic of Allah. Wa huwa muhsinun ila ibadihi. He does good to his slaves. Fi khafa. Behind them. You cannot see this sometimes in front of you. Wa satr. And it is like a veil that Allah does everything at the back that you cannot see. Min haythu la yahtasibun. And sometimes the things that come to you that you don't realize. Sometimes the things come to you you didn't realize. That is Latif. Al-Latif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif. Okay. This one phrase that I forgot, where is it? Okay, it's okay. So sometimes we wanted something, right? We think that if we have this thing, inshallah, our life will be better. If we have this, inshallah, we will have a successful life. If we got this job as an engineer, for example, as a doctor, we will be a successful person. But throughout your life, you see your qadar is going the other way around. You failed your exams, for example, or maybe you failed your interview. Right, we fail your interview, and you see your life is leading you to somewhere else. But you are making dua, oh Allah, give me Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. But you see, I didn't get whatever I wanted. And you ask, oh Allah, I asked for you this Ferrari. Right, I asked for you this Lamborghini. But why I didn't get it? Oh Allah, I asked for you for this PlayStation 5. I didn't get it. So all the things that you ask sometimes is not for you. It doesn't assist you to benefit your life here and most importantly in the hereafter. So Allah knows what is best for you. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you whatever you want. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give directly. You ask from Allah, Allah will give. And sometimes Allah delay this dua to you. He delays it. And one day you already forgot about that, the things that you asked, and then you received it. Allah subhanallah. What a great timing, right? If you were to receive it earlier, it will be no benefit for you. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't give you what you want, but He takes you away from mudara, from things that will harm you. He changed that dua to take away from you, from the things that will harm you. You imagine the possibility for you to be engaged in accident when you are coming here. The possibility is there. But subhanallah, while you are, for years that you'll be coming to Al-Khadim or going to work, etc., you don't think about it at all. You put it at the side of your life, but you just go, I want to go to work, I want to finish my task. So these things at the back, the background that happening, so we don't care actually. So this is one of the things that Allah is helping us. Allah is facilitating your change towards Him. Allah is giving you, sometimes you ask for something, so Allah gives you the chance to get that. Or you ask for, I want to be a sheikh, I want to be an ustaz, I want to learn the Quran. I want to be hafiz of Quran. So Allah gives you something pops in your feed, Facebook feed, Quranic class, perfecting my Fatiha, for example. Okay? Ikra class. So these things, you ask for it, Allah will facilitate for you all the good things. A lot of things that we can relate to our lives, that we ask for things that we think it is best for us, but we didn't get it, and then we realize, oh, this girl is not for me. Alhamdulillah, I didn't marry her. this man is not for me. I thought he is everything. He is handsome. He is beriman. He is a very, very a good believer. He is rich, you know. But you don't know that he is abusive. He is very harsh or something. So alhamdulillah, I didn't marry her. I married to this poor guy. But alhamdulillah, he is very soft. He is very, very honest and etc. Very, very loving. So alhamdulillah, sometimes you don't know what you need. Sometimes you don't know what you need. Sometimes you why I didn't get this nice girl, a very, very beautiful girl. I want her so much, but I didn't get it. I get another girl. But this woman that Allah SWT grant you, she is the one who completes you. She is the one who completes your deen. She will compliment you. Sometimes we want a person that is similar to you, but actually you need somebody that can compliment you. Wallahu alam, this is from my experience. Okay, I don't know everybody. So inshallah we can relate to this. So latifun bi ibadihi, and Allah SWT said in the Quran, wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batinah, and Allah engulf with ni'mah, with blessings. And then Allah mentioned zahiratan, what is apparent, wa batinah, and the things that it is not apparent, things that you cannot see. But inshallah, in the day of judgment, you can ask Allah, oh Allah, why didn't I get this? And again, so Allah will show you why. So we can continue a bit more. Subhanallah, this ayah again. All the short ayahs that we can reflect on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Very short, certainly. This one is wrong. The translation is wrong. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ means do not be despair. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. And then the ayat after that, innahu may ya'asu min rauhillahi illa alqaumul kafirun. This is from Surah Yusuf. And then he says, certainly no one despairs from the mercy of Allah except those who are illa alkafirun. So we can see the context here actually. Why did Allah this is said? Okay, we can see if you have Quran, we can turn to this ayat, Surah Yusuf 87. This is at towards the end lah, towards the end of the story of Yusuf, where everything that happened to Yusuf already done. Yusuf has been thrown into the well, he's been taken as slave here, and then the thing happened between him and the Imra'atul Aziz, where the chasing happened, and then he was went to the prison. He was thrown into the prison, and then he did the tafsir of the dreams, and then he became one of the minister, and all of these things happened. You can read on your own. And then now, the father, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, he sends during the drought, during the famine, so he sends all of his sons to ask for food to the minister, which is Yusuf alayhi salam. So he didn't get what he wants. In fact, Yusuf say, I can give you. So now those brothers, they don't know that is Yusuf, because there's so long, after for so long, so of course your features are all changed, you've grown. Actually, those things that happened when they're throwing in the well, when they were small, when they were small. So now when they are bigger, so become a, now become Yusuf has become a minister. So he say, okay, you want some food, I can give you, but you have to bring the other brother, which is Bunyamin. So what the things happen, and then they will help Bunyamin, and then they have to go back, send back to the father. And then now the father is very sad. He say, I've lost Yusuf, and now I've lost Bunyamin as well. And then that is what we say. One of the ayah, very, very emotional ayah that Yaqub said. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَى عَلَى يُوسُفَ. And then when Yaqub turns away from his children, and then he said, يَا أَسَفَى, oh, how sorry it is, ala Yusuf, that I've lost my lovely son, Yusuf, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَا, until he cries, until his eyes were blind. مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, from the sadness, and whatever that he is feeling and on those time. And then the sons will say, oh, by Allah, you are still, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ, you still remembering Yusuf. Yusuf is already gone. Father, what are you trying to, you just forget about Yusuf. And there's no chance that Yusuf is surviving now. So remember this. And then what did Yaqub say? إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And I only complain of my sadness and my despair to Allah. Whatever that I know, only I know something that you don't know. So whatever I complain to Allah. So this thing that we can take is, if you want to talk to somebody, you talk to Allah. You complain to Allah at night when everybody is sleeping. So whatever sadness that you are carrying, okay, in your sujood, you can let it out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same goes as here, as an example of Prophet Yaqub. And then, after this, that he said to his sons, Ya Bani Yadhabu Fatahassasu Ala Yusuf. Oh, my children, go. Do not stay here in this house. Go out. Fatahassasu. Go find Yusuf and his brother. Where is he? He must be there. He should be there. Fatahassasu mi Yusufa wa akhihi. Wala tayasu. So this, the ayat comes. Wala tayasu mir rawhillah. And do not be despair from the mercy of Allah. And then the translation certainly is, innahu la yayasu mir rawhillahi illa alqawmul kafirun. Verily, no one despairs of the mercy of Allah except for the people who are disbelievers. For the disbelieving people. Those who don't believe in Allah, what can they hope for? What can they hope for? They don't have something to rely on. Wallahu alam, this is in general, not specifically. Those who are not yet Muslims, don't believe in Allah per se, they don't believe in Allah, they, whenever they face problem, they don't know where to turn to. This is related to me from our brother that reverted before. He was a Buddhist lah. He was a Taoist Buddhist, but he doesn't believe in God. But whenever something happened to him, he said, "I don't know who to call. Who to complain? I don't know who to complain to." And when I see Muslims, they say, "Allah, Allah help me, Allah." But what do I say? Oh my God! But I don't believe in God. I'm like, I know there's a God, but which God? So he has this this thinking, this mentality. So he said that I was lost. He said if something happened to me, I'm like, I've become destroyed. I'll be depressed and etc. So whereas the Muslims, if you see Muslims, I don't know, I don't want to go to Gaza. Gaza is like, the top tiers. We can see our those who are unfortunate those who don't, you know, not very wealthy, they are living in a harsh conditions, etc. No money. So you can see them, even though they are living in those situations, they have a lot of burden on them, a lot of financial burden, but they still, you know, they still have hope. They still live their life. They don't kill themselves. They say, Allah ada. Allah kan ada. InsyaAllah, nanti kita masuk syurga. InsyaAllah, one day, we Muslims, we will enter paradise. We will meet Allah. So our worries will be gone, InsyaAllah. So everything, all the tests that happen in this life, even the prick of a thorn, right? The prick of a thorn that you receive, those are your elevation of your level towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will forgive your sin. If you don't have sin, Allah elevate your status. So everything, until so much so, somebody, and this is one of the hadith, the meaning of it, a person that was tested by Allah, so much so, until he is clean, he is cleansed from his sins, when he meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah. So sometimes, you know, musibah, things that, calamities that happen in our lives, are actually mercy for us for the hereafter. Wallahu alam. So may Allah, we don't ask for calamities, of course. We try to improve ourselves, our relationship with Allah. Especially now, it is a time to reset, because Ramadan is here, alhamdulillah. So with all the hectic routines, our daily routine, so now it's time to reset. Time to, actually, Ramadan, as the pious predecessors said, it is a time for menuai, time for harvest, because you already planted all your seeds during the year, and then Sha'ban, This month is the time where you see your cultivation is growing, and then Ramadan you harvest. Ramadan you harvest in terms of your deeds, in terms of your Quran, especially. So I don't want to talk about Quran because I have a lot of things to say, but we wanna wait until part 3 lah. Etiquette with respect to the word of Allah. So Allah say here, wala ta'asu, do not despair. Jangan putus asa. In Malay, we say putus asa. Because Allah said, those who despair from the mercy of Allah are those who are disbelievers, who don't believe in Allah. Ya Allah. I don't believe in Allah. So, never ever lose hope. One of the tricks of syaitan is to lose hope from the forgiveness of Allah, right? To tell him, bro, you are committing this sin all over again, 100 times already, brother. How much you want to do? How many times you want to do this? You did this thing. You are engaging in this haram, and then you tawbah, right? You make tawbah. You say you repent, and then you engage in it again, and then you make tawbah, and then again, and then how many times, brother? Allah will not forgive you anymore. Why? You are not ashamed towards Allah. So these are all tricks of shaitan. Do not fall in this trick. Do not fall in this trick. Do not be despair. Do not think that your sin is too big for Allah to forgive. If you were to come in this one of the hadith, I translate it to make it easier. If you were to come to Allah in the day of judgment, bi kurabin, with the sins as big as this earth. Sins big as this earth, so big, very big. La ataytuka bimaghfiratin. So Allah said, I will come to you with the same amount of forgiveness. As long there's a sharat, there's a condition. As long that you don't associate partner with me. As long as you don't commit shirk. So Allah will forgive all of your sin. Never mind. While, and it's another riwayah, say, I will forgive you. Wala ubali. Allah said, wala ubali. I don't care. I forgive and I don't care anymore. Subhanallah. So never too late. Never too late to turn back to Allah. Imagine it's one sincere moment in your life that you turn to Allah with full sincerity, with full ikhlas, and then Allah takes your life. Ya Allah. That might be your savior. That alone might cause you to enter Jannah. Just because of your sincere repentance to Allah. As you can see, a lot of stories from the people of from people of the past, the baghi, the what do you call it in English? The prostitute. The prostitute. I was looking for that. The prostitute who Allah forgave. She is engaging in sins, a lot of sins. Her career is a sin. Just because of that sincere moment that she helped this poor dog who is very, very thirsty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her sin. So this is the rahmah of Allah. Never, ever be despair. And last, maybe the ayat that we can share. وَلَا لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This is from Surah Az-Zumar. One of the most powerful ayah. Allah SWT said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O Muhammad, to those who have transgressed themselves. Asrafu means you transgress the limits. You already making a lot of sins. You are engaging in things that Allah is not pleased with. Asrafu ala anfusihim. That you, when you're committing sins, that you are wronging yourselves. You are wronging your own self. Because these sins will make you suffer at the end of the day. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. تَقْنَطُ means kunut. Kunut is not kunut. This is qaf. Then ta. Kunut is that you, I don't have hope anymore. I am destroyed. I have no hope in Allah in forgiving me. I've done so many things that in unimaginable. But Allah said, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Those who transgress themselves, those who engage in wrongdoings all of their lives, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Because why? Allah said, Allah continue after this ayah, إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. Jami'a. Yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Ya Allah. Whatever you do, even to the state of killing, right? All those big sins you commit, shirk, for example. You call other than Allah. You commit adultery. You are engaging in things that is filthy, following your desires. You are, for example, you killed somebody, for example. It is one of the greatest sins. All those three main things, and a lot of things, other things that you did. If you were to come back to Allah, Allah said, all these things, well, will get الذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون. So these three things, shirk, zina, and killing a soul. ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. Whoever does these three, or similar to these levels of sins, Allah will cause him to, you know, carries the burden of sin. ويخلد فيه مهانا, and Allah will cause you to remain in those state, in kehinaan, in kehinaan, in loss. Hina in English is what? Hina, disgrace, right? Disgrace. In a disgraceful state, that Allah will leave you, in that state, Allah will leave you. So Allah, and then Allah continue, illa man tab, except for those who repent. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha. Three things that you have to do. You have to repent, wa amana, and then you have to believe better. Oh Allah, you are the one who forgives sin. Wa amila saliha, and then you follow up all of these things that you said and you have made your oath towards Allah with good deeds. Wa amila saliha. What happened to you? فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change all of your sins to good deeds. Allah will replace all of the sins that you have committed. Not only He forgives, but He changes it to good, to reward that you will enjoy in the hereafter. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. Whoever make tawbah and then follow up, engaging in, actions that is pleasing to Allah, coming to class, reading the Quran, reading the meaning of the Quran, understanding what Allah wants us to do, what Allah requires from us. And then that is the true, فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. That is the true repentance that you need from Allah, and that you need to do towards Allah. That you not only say, aku tobat, aku tobat. In Malaysia, in Malay, tobat, tobat, tobat. I already left this. I don't want to do it anymore. But you're still engaging in this sin. So the best is to leave, and then to follow up with good deeds. Wallahu a'lam. So I think we can stop here. Oh, already past my time. We will continue about the wrath of Allah. Inshallah, next week will be with Sheikh Husaini. Alhamdulillah. This one is next class. So any comments, any additional questions or feedbacks, فلا تفضلوا مشكورا. Today is 2, huh? One online question, ya Allah. Yes.
Assalamualaikum Ustaz.
Waalaikumsalam.
Apakah hukum angkat tangan semasa khutbah kedua solat Jumaat?
This is not the place to ask a fake question. Apakah hukum angkat tangan?
Angkat tangan semasa khutbah kedua solat Jumaat.
Angkat tangan? Doa.
Sebab itu ayah saya tegur, and then dia kata Nabi SAW tak buat and angkat tangan semasa khutbah kedua.
Which means during the dua. You don't simply raise your hand in khutbah number 2, right? Dua, right? Allahu a'lam, this thing, disputed matter. According to the sunnah, according to the riwayah, the Prophet didn't ask the companion. The companions didn't raise any hands. The question was, what is the hukum of raising the hands during the dua and the second khutbah in solat Jumaat? Alhamdulillah for the sisters, you are safe. What is the hukum? Wallahu alam, some scholars say it is not allowed. I don't want to give one specific answer, but some scholars say it is not allowed, and some of the sahaba say it is something that is not sunnah. But some scholars say it's allowed, and some scholars say is, you know, you can do it's a dua. Nothing prevents you from making a dua, because one of the hadith said that Allah is he don't want a slave when he puts up a hand and then he comes back with nothing. So that is one of the dalil. Wallahu alam, I don't want to go further, but this is a thing that is disputed on lah. Okay, wallahu alam. But the best is to in any practice of the sunnah that you don't do anything except there's a dalil. Except there's a dalil. If there's a dalil, you do it. If there's no, so you just tawakkuf. It because it doesn't invalidate your prayer. It doesn't invalidate your khutbah. It doesn't even decrease your ajr of the khutbah. Wallahu alam. Yes. Sorry, Sahil. Oh, fake questions. A lot of fake jurisprudence questions. People like okay, subhanAllah.
So can I ask a question about the lesson today?
Okay,
so,
okay.
So I'm a new Muslim. So how would you, like, on a day-to-day or throughout your, maybe on a weekly level, how would you practice this kind of etiquette? Like, how would it affect your life?
You mean the etiquette towards Allah?
Yeah.
Okay. As has been written in this book, brother.
Right? So from your explanation, like an example on a maybe a more something specific, I don't quite understand.
Okay. These are all actually knowledge, right? That you know that Allah is merciful and then Allah is watching everything that you do. So the way to, you know, engage in this knowledge in order to make it beneficial, that it makes you a better Muslim. That you know that Allah is watching you in every single thing that you do. So you just do all the things that Allah asks you to do. It's simple. It's simple, but it's not easy. Everything in Islam is simple, but it's not easy, of course. Because we have our own desires. Some things that we do, it is against our desires. That we want to relax, right? We want to do. Because inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. Verily, this nafs that you have, this thing that is in your heart, your desire, is only wants the inclination towards ammaratum bisu, things that is not pleasing to Allah sometimes, most of the time. We want to be relaxed, we don't want to go for prayer. But know that Allah is watching you. Know that Allah is hoping for you to come back to Him, to make dua to Him. So when you know more about Allah, you learn more about Allah, you know His position, Allah's position. What is Allah? Who is Allah? What is His? If you don't know something, right, it doesn't affect you. You won't love something that you don't know. Tak kenal, maka tak cinta. So you have to be more engaged in learning about who is Allah, especially the names and attributes of Allah. So whenever we know about Allah, so we are more conscious of Allah. And for example, Allah is watching us, so we don't engage in bad deeds in public, also in secret. And then also Allah asks us to pray, so we pray 5 times a day, because this is one of the most important ibadah, most important command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do, which is the prayer. The Ramadan is coming, so fasting in the month of Ramadan. So this is how we implement. Because sometimes we know that Allah is watching. We know everything about this, but we still fell in doing some mistakes and all. But this is no problem, as long as we know that Allah is watching, and as long as we repent and we say inshallah we will improve. Because improvement needs time, needs knowledge, and then this knowledge, you have to have a right mindset that you want to learn, not only that you want to know. Because in Islam, knowledge, learning something that we want to implement. And then there's dua, the dua that the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman. But not only, oh Allah, I ask of you knowledge. But not only knowledge, the Prophet said, nafi'an. That is beneficial. So beneficial knowledge, whatever knowledge that you gain, that increases your fear towards Allah. That you feel that Allah is always watching you. This nearness to Allah. So this is the feeling that you need to have. That you know He is there. That He is watching you. So you need to, you know, act accordingly. For example, a lot of examples. Towards your parents. In front of your parents, you are good to your parents. You say nice things to your parents. You don't raise your voice to the parents. So similar to Allah, Allah is walillahi mathalul a'la. Allah is more greater example. So this is how we practice. Be a good Muslim, inshallah. You are having the good adab and behavior towards Allah. Allahu a'lam. How long you have become a Muslim, brother?
Four months.
MashaAllah. Welcome to Islam. Welcome to the big family. Okay, learning. Don't push yourself to learn everything. Learn whatever that is important first. For example, the things that you have to do, you need to perfect some of it. Learn, especially, have you started learning the Quran? Okay, so engage yourself in the Quran and you will see your life will change. You know how to, you know, whenever you recite the Quran, engaging in yourself to improve yourself with the Quran, that is the connection with you and Allah, the Quran. The Quran is the only essence of Allah that is on this earth. The rest of Allah, Allah is in His throne. But the Quran is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Does that answer the question? Okay, thank you. Brother, no? Alhamdulillah. So, we are approaching 1 o'clock, so everybody is hungry for their lunch, inshallah. So, jazakumullah khairan for your patience, for your attentive listening. I apologize if there's anything that I said that might hurt you or something that is wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us whatever that is beneficial and make it beneficial for us and also for those who are around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the things that we learn as a evidence for us and not evidence against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our loved ones, of our family, of our friends, those who are still living and those who have passed away in state of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them and forgive their mistakes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy and help those who are in Gaza, in Palestine, in all of the places where the Muslims are being oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them and give izzah, bring back the izzah of the Muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all of our affairs and not leave us even for the blink of an eye. We end with tasbih kafara. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi.